Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network, and always on
it's
radio.
It's the Flaherty Report with John Flaherty. Somebody's getting pizzayed.
Somebody is getting pizzayed, and the John Flaherty Report is brought to you by Stoli Vodka, the official vodka of the Yankees Radio Network. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How's it going, guys?
We're doing great.
It's always great to talk to you, especially after a couple of Yankee wins. Give me your initial impressions, and I'm reading this morning that they're going to go with the same lineup of what Aaron Boone trotted out there as a lineup, especially with Gardner in the three hole.
Yeah, you know what, Boomer? I've been really impressed on how tight the at bats are. I mean, eight walks in each game is pretty incredible, and just a very disciplined lineup right now. It's they're not swinging at anything out of the strike zone. As Aaron Boone talks about, they're getting a lot of traffic, a lot of opportunities. Didi has the big swing, the grand slam. But for me, it's the at-bats where they're hitting the ball the other way. They're taking their walks, and they're just setting themselves up for some big innings. So I think that's been the difference so far in two games. You'd have to say the Minnesota Twins have really expanded out of the strike zone, and the Yankees have taken advantage of that, and the Yankee lineup has been very disciplined.
Give me a reason to believe that things are going to be different in Minnesota, because I don't believe that they will. I think that, as I told you on Friday, that the Twins are an inferior team. They showed up and looked like it in games one and two. Is there a legitimate reason from what you've seen from the Yankees and Twins this year that makes you believe that when they go to Minnesota, that the Twins are all of a sudden going to wake up and make this thing a series?
I don't see it happening. For me, their lineup is so one-dimensional, and we talked about it on Friday that, you know, the breaking ball was going to be a big part of this series. And we saw that in game one with Paxton with his curveball. The Twins, you know, were very aggressive out of the strike zone, and Paxton took advantage of that. And Tanaka just kind of pitched backwards in game two, and they didn't make any adjustments offensively. So this lineup that hit 307 home runs is relatively easy to pitch to from a game plan standpoint. You have to execute it, and I thought Tanaka did that beautifully. So I guess to answer your question, you know, the only way is if Bodorizzi goes out there and throws six or seven innings tonight, and the Twins stay away from some of their middle relievers. But like I was just explaining with this Yankee lineup, that's not going to happen. They wear you down. They take pitches. They take their walks. You get into the bullpen, and that's where they do their damage.
I always ask you this, John, as we talk to the great John Flaherty, about catching a pitcher in a playoff game in Severino. You know, he was pitched here a little bit at the end of the season, but, you know, this is a big game. It's a big game for him. How do you calm him down starting this game off tonight, and what do you expect to see from him?
Yeah, Boomer, it's going to be really hard. He's going to be jacked up. He's going to be ready to go. And, you know, when you watch Tanaka dissect the lineup, he's a surgeon, right? But, you know, Severino's different. He's going to attack. He's got to throw his slider and fastball counts for strikes, and that's not necessarily one of his strengths. You know, he likes to overpower you with the fastball. He likes to throw sliders off the plate. He'll throw some changeup for strikes, but not so much with the slider. So to answer your question, I just think you got to let him go and pitch his game tonight. Hope this stuff is dominating enough. But if he can stay away from some fastballs and fastball counts, he'll have a better chance.
What was your take on how Aaron Boone had deployed the bullpen in games one and two, especially game one?
Yeah, not that surprised that he went to the bullpen so early. It's all about matchups. So some of the guys that we're going to see come out of the bullpen earlier in games might be a little different than what we saw during the regular season. You know, Canley and Ottavino, it's all going to be about matchups in that fourth, fifth, sixth inning that Aaron likes with those guys. So, this is going to be a bullpen series. It has been already. The Yankee bullpen is obviously, so much better than the Twin bullpen, but it's not going to look like, or it hasn't looked like what it looked like during the season, which, you know, maybe Canely pitches the seventh or Ottavino comes in and then Britton, then Chapman. It's not going to be lined up that way.
You know, listening to John Smoltz talk about Edwin Encarnacion, it's like he could roll right out of bed and start hitting. No matter whether it's a broken wrist or an oblique injury, he just seems like he's a professional hitter. And what an addition he has turned out to be for the Yankees, and what a move that Brian Cashman made in the middle of the season. Give me your sense of his at-bats and also Giancarlo Stanton's at-bats.
Yeah, Boomer, I go back to a series I worked in Detroit where Encarnacion went down to the minor leagues and had 8 at-bats and came back, and I'm questioning, you know, is that enough? Can you do this? And he hits a home run the first game, so obviously you can. And then, you know, to have 21 days off without seeing live pitching and then come up here, you know, in a playoff situation and his at-bats are just right on time, the bat speed's there, he's not swinging the balls out of the strike zone, it's you can't even put into words how hard it is to do that. So very impressive. Great move by Cashman. Again, this is one of those you're like, really? Now they're going to get Encarnacion and add on to what they already have. But he just seems to fit perfectly right in the middle of that lineup.
Talking to John Flaherty on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Giancarlo Stanton didn't really drive the ball that much, had the sac fly in game 2, but he was laying off some of those breaking balls on the outer half with 2 strikes that we have seen him chase many, many times. Are you sensing that Giancarlo Stanton is in a good place right now at the plate?
He's in a great place, and we talked about it on Friday. His at-bats coming down the stretch, and I was mentioning the takes more than the swings. He's recognizing pitches a whole lot earlier than he had last year, and we've seen that in 2 games in this series. So as long as he keeps his patience and just kind of hangs out and waits a little bit, eventually the Twins are going to have to come to him. And I feel the same way about Aaron Judge, who's taking his walks, he's taking his base hits the other way. Eventually, these guys are going to get into some really good hitting counts, and the Twins are going to give in, and they're going to be ready.
Isn't this what Aaron Boone was alluding to when he came out and argued with the umpire in the middle of the summer, saying, my guys are savages, they can read the strike zone, they're not going to swing at balls out of the strike zone, and if you're going to continue to, you know, call strikes where my guys aren't chasing, then we don't have a chance. I mean, that's kind of like what's going on right now with these guys.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, as an old catcher here talking, you know, these at-bats and the way these guys don't expand out of the strike zone, they mentally grind you down. They really do, because you're sitting there like, I don't want to throw the ball over the plate. They're not swinging at anything off of the plate. And you start feeling the tension in your pitcher, and you're calling a game defensively, and they just never give in and give you an easy out, and it just wears you down. By the time you get through the lineup twice, it's really frustrating. So it's exactly what Aaron Boone was talking about. And you know, I give this lineup a lot of credit, because when you get to the postseason, you have that attitude like, I want to be the guy. I'm going to get this done. And when I watch them up at the plate, they're like, you know what? If it's not me, I'll let the next guy do it. So it's relentless right now, and you just hope it keeps going.
I know that you don't want to think ahead too much if you're the Yankees, obviously, but I mean, we are on this collision course with the Yankees and Astros in the ALCS, and we're already getting calls about it, and it's going to be different when you face the Astros pitching. It's not going to be the same. The Astros don't have an Uber driver that they're going to throw in a playoff game. And I understand all that, but I still have faith in that Yankee lineup that they're just not going to get shut down by those guys. I mean, it's strength against strength. I mean, these principles that we talk about, that you've been talking about with this Yankee lineup, I mean, they do apply when you're facing good pitchers as well. Is this a matchup that, I mean, the world wants it? I mean, do you still have faith in the Yankee lineup against better pitching and not what the Twins have thrown at them?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I you know, the players can't look ahead. You know, they already have, but they can't talk about it, but we can. I mean, I can't wait to see Verlander and Cole trying to get through this lineup. And obviously, you know, they have amazing stuff. They're going to rack up strikeouts. But on the flip side, I think the Yankee lineup will make them work, right? They're not going to help them out, and they're going to get the pitch count up. So I don't know if Verlander and Cole are going to be going 7 or 8 innings against this lineup. So I think the Yankees offensively will be like, you know what, let's just make these guys work, try to get into the bullpen for the Astros, and we'll take our chances. So, you know, it really comes down to the Yankees starting pitching trying to stand up against those 2 big boys for Houston. And, you know, they're probably not going to do it with a starter like, let's say, Paxton. He's not going to go out there and go toe-to-toe for six or seven innings with Verlander. It's going to be Paxton. It's going to be Ottavino. It's going to be Canely. And then you hope when you get Verlander out of a game, you can take advantage of the bullpen.
You know, it's kind of amazing watching those two pitchers in this series against the Rays. Gerrit Cole, to me, throws strikes. Like he is so confident, John. And just watching the way he is pitching, it's like he's like reached the pinnacle of his success. And there are a lot of swings and misses by the Rays at strikes. I mean, you know, and he's working the outside of the plate a lot, but he is just looks unbeatable right now.
Yeah, Boomer, I don't have to tell you this. You know, when you watch body language of any athlete, you can tell. And right now with Cole, I mean, it's as good as it gets. And you're right. I mean, he's got three devastating pitches that he mixes and matches. He throws strikes. He forces you to swing the bat. Again, you know, he's going to get his strikeouts. He's not going to give up big hits. But I think if you're the Yankees or any lineup, you just try to grind through and get pitch counts and foul some tough pitches off and make him work a little bit harder than he seems to had to against the Rays, because he's made it look pretty easy.
First pitch tonight, a little after 1 a.m. out in Minnesota, so we'll look forward to that. John, we'll talk to you soon, man. It's always a pleasure.
All right, guys, enjoy it.
There's John Flaherty, the John Flaherty Report, brought to you by Stoli Vodka, the official vodka of the Yankees Radio Network. They don't need to sell me on John Flaherty.
I know.
It's the Flaherty Report with John Flaherty.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting pizzayed.
Yeah. Trying to sell me Flaherty. I always bought in on Flaherty. I'm already there. I'm there with you. Lockstep, me and you. We have invested in John Flaherty.
Yes, we have.
For crying out loud. So we'll look forward to that. I'm kidding. Obviously, it's an 8:40 first pitch. But for guys like us who get up.
It feels like 1 o'clock in the morning.
It might
it
as well be 1
flywheel
o'clock.
Flywheel today. I have a great staff. Hey, don't worry. I'm not doing anything on Sunday. So let's do it Monday morning.
A little hour of cardio midday.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
A little fly with Boomer hour of cardio.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's do it, man. It's what we need. A little energy.
Rocking and rolling. I'm going to get you next two in a minute. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.